Always glad to be back a second time on the Lord's Day, and it's always encouraging for me to see others that have the same interest in mind to one day have a heavenly home. And we know that it takes diligence on our part. We know we have warnings throughout the New Testament there about being on watch, being steadfast. And that's what it takes, because we don't need to let anything in this world rob us of something as precious as our salvation, that Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for. What more, the greatest cost that you can think of, the Son of God coming down here in the flesh and then shedding that precious blood for our sins. And we know that none of us deserve that, but it was out of love. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful to be able to look into His holy word. And tonight I encourage you to open up your Bibles and study along with me. And I want you to look over there first at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16, if you will. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. As we see right here, you know, in previous verses right there, we often identify them as the Beatitudes, but Christ here in His teachings on the mountain right here, He said there, starting in verse 13, He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine. You know, we have several songs throughout our hymnal there talking about the light and, you know, the light of the gospel. But, you know, we have a light, too, that we have to let shine. You know, and it's always, you know, kind of good to sit down and give a good examination of ourselves. You know, what about our light? Is our light, is it bright? Is it just, is it dull? Is it just a little flicker? Is it one that just comes on every now and then? You know, that's something that we need to, or is it fading altogether? You know, that's the thing that we have to be on guard against, is that light fading. You know, there's several ways that we can let our light shine. You know, it's being thankful, showing the world out here, being around others and being so thankful for what we are so blessed with. Caring and sharing with other people, having that, you know, that love for one another, that we know that Jesus said this is how that we identify to the world out here and other people, that we have that love that shows that we are one of his followers. Being honest. You know, so many of the world today are just not honest. And, you know, they look at it as just something, well, everyone else has done it. But, you know, Christians can't be a part of that. You know, we need to be also peacemakers. You know, not one that's quarrelsome. You know, these are some of the things that Christ had mentioned there in those previous verses. And also being patient, showing the world out here our patience. And keeping ourselves pure, showing mercy, you know, but showing and telling our love for the Lord. These are some of just the ways that we can let our light shine to the world right there. But I want you to look at something, another way that we can let our light shine is by overcoming temptation. Now, temptation is something that we all face. We know that that's what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had to face, but He overcame that. Now, just because you're tempted doesn't mean you're sinning, because we know that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He never sinned, but He was tempted. We know that there, when you look in Matthew chapter 4, how that Satan there, the devil, when he was in the wilderness, he went to tempt him, and how that he combated him there and he won by using the Word of God, because Jesus Christ was the Word in the flesh, and John chapter 1 tells us. But, you know, he also mentioned there in verse 13 about us being the salt of the earth. You know, salt, we know, it enhances flavor, and it preserves, and pure salt doesn't really lose its flavor. But once it's, you know, something's added to it that causes it not to be 100%, or something makes it impure, then it loses those abilities. And that's the same way it is with us as Christians. We allow things to cause us to be impure. And, you know, and we have to, as James put it, keep ourselves unspotted in this world. And that's why it's something that we have to work on constantly. It's being a Christian is something that too many of the world today do not take serious enough. It is a serious thing because our very souls are at stake. And I know everyone knows that. But look with me over in Ephesians, if you will, concerning the subject of, you know, letting our light shine by overcoming temptation. Now, Paul wrote over in Ephesians chapter 6 there and verses 10 and 11. Here he was, you know, Paul was, you know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote these things down, and it's for our good. It wasn't just wrote down there to take up space. He said, finally, my brethren. Now, he's talking to brothers, and that means he's talking to sisters too, congregation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, another name for the devil there, Satan, tempter. Over in the book of Revelation, he was referred to as the dragon. We know there in the Garden of Eden, he was the serpent. But it all comes down, it's the same one. He's the one there behind that. He's the one that tempted Jesus Christ there in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And yes, as Paul noted right there, you know, we need to be putting on that whole armor. We need to be ready to defend ourselves against these things that we're going to have to encounter in this life. And we all encounter it in some way, form, or fashion each and every day. And some of the things we actually put ourselves into. Look at Lot. Over there in the book of Genesis in chapter 13, we know that he was the nephew of Abraham. And how that they, you know, the Lord had spoken there in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis and told Abraham to, you know, to pick up everything and go where he was telling him to go. But on that journey right there, the herdsmen there of Lot and Abraham began to have a little conflict. And so they decided they would split up. And Abraham gave Lot the choice, as we all know, of which one he wanted. And he chose one right there. And it ended up being a bad choice. Why? Well, when you look there in verse 12 of chapter 13 of Genesis, it says, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now look at verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were exceedingly sinners. Lot chose to be in that, right in the middle of that. You see, that was his own doing. He had looked and saw all that green grass there and been given the choice. He chose that. He was selfish. You know, when you look at those verses right there in chapter 13, he was a little selfish there by choosing that. Abraham was being generous. But he chose the wrong thing when he pitched his tent toward Sodom, as we all know, because that Sodom and Gomorrah, as we all know, ended up being destroyed. And he was... the Lord sent angels to get he and his family out and has told them not to look back. And his wife ended up looking back and she turned into a pillar of salt. So, yes, but that all but came down from his decision right there. And what he had, and we know over there in 2 Peter what was going on too as well. 2 Peter tells us over there that it vexed his soul there. He said in verse 8 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter, well, look at verse 7. He says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, in verse 8, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It vexed his soul. You know, it troubled him to see that. You know, don't it trouble us today when we see some of the things going on in the world today? The way people treat other people, the immorality that's going on in the world today. Now, what effect does it have on people? If they subject themselves to it enough, you know, it's just like a mud hole out here. You keep walking around that mud hole, you're going to get mud on you. That's what it comes down to. And sin is the same way. You know, it vexed his soul, but he had placed himself in that situation. He was described as a righteous man. Otherwise, you know, he would have been condemned right along with all the others. You know, Abraham, as we all know, he turned to the Lord and started out with 50. You know, if there's 50 people that are righteous, will you not destroy them cities? And he went down all the way to 10. They couldn't even find 10. But there was Lot. And he and his two daughters were the only ones that were saved out of all those cities right there. But, you know, the thing that we can place ourselves in some situations at times, being around the wrong people, being in wrong places. You know, the wrong place now, you take not only in Williamsburg, but now we got here in Corbin, there's these gambling places right here. And they get a lot of business. And it's not just them. Now we have all these places around here with the saloons and bars and liquor and everything else being sold everywhere. And I never would have dreamed seeing that in my lifetime growing up. You never did see nothing like that around here. And now here it is everywhere. And it's, you know, and we have to be careful around certain things like that. Because the things, you know, the temptations are, you know, they're around us. And it's not just that. We can be tempted in many, many ways. Like gossip. Hearing things that we know that, you know, we don't have to sit and listen. If someone's gossiping, and you know, all you have to do is walk away. You got every other direction to walk except for that person standing, and just walk away from it. And especially don't repeat it. But that's things that, you know, that's how we let our light shine as a Christian right there. And just like we read there in Ephesians 6, we need to prepare ourselves for all these temptations that we're going to face. You know, you take children today going to school. They face a whole host of things that we didn't even have to get involved with or be around when we were growing up. And it's only going to get worse until this world is ready to be destroyed. And only the Lord knows when that'll be. But, you know, dealing with temptation, you know, it's something that we need to be careful about. And being, you know, how that we deal with it around other people and people... witnesses and seeing how that we deal with it. You know, we can either be a good influence on them or we can be a bad influence on them. That's how we let our light shine. That's just one of the many ways. But, you know, we need to understand temptation. Our temptation is not exactly the same as a trial. A trial is simply a difficulty that tests and strengthens our faith. You know, and it's good for us to actually have it, those trials there. Because when we overcome them, we get stronger each and every time. But you know what? We know we can't do it on our own. We have to have the Lord's help. But how many times do you hear people say, well, the Lord tempt me? Well, you know, James put that to rest. He knocked that theory clean out of the water. When he said over here in James chapter 1, well, let's look at something else in James chapter 1 first. Look in verses 2 and 3. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What? Because I'm having to go being tempted, I should count it as a joy. Why? Because knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Yes, it does. You know, we've been studying on Wednesday night the Old Testament. You know, and it's a treasure trove of examples of men that have faced difficult situations and how that they made it through those situations. And you know, if they can do it, and they did it with the Lord's help, it wasn't on their own. But it does take something on our part. We can do the same thing. That's what James said. You know, look at it this way right here. When you count it as a joy, knowing that he'll give you patience, you know, you'll have patience toward things like that right there. And he says also in verses 13 through 15, he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So when people make that statement that God tempts me, no. There's only one tempter, and that's Satan. He says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Yes, it's all us. We allow those temptations to get to us. When Jesus was being tempted over there, when you look in the book of Matthew chapter 4, each and every time that he was tempted. Now, he had been fasting for 40 days and nights. Yeah, he would be hungry. He was in the flesh. And Satan knew that too. You know, Satan knows the things that get to us. And you know what? We should be doing what it is too and work on those things and be on guard of those things like that. But Satan knew he was hungry. And that's why he said, you know, command these stones to make bread. But Jesus there, using the word each and every time there, this was just one of the ways, one time that he was tempted. But each and every temptation, he fought it off with the word of God. And that's the same way we can do today. We can do the same thing. In chapter 6 of the book of Matthew also, look in verse 13. The model prayer that Jesus had given here to these disciples are part of that prayer is something that we should actually include in our prayers today, not just forgiveness of sins, but even before sin occurs. He says, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, help us to avoid temptations. Keep us away. Help us to not be involved in those things. You know, it takes a little bit of common sense of our own to stay out of a lot of situations if we would just use it. You know, the Lord's blessed us with that if we use it. You know, it's just like a shovel out here. If you never pick the shovel up, you can't use it, can you? That's the same way this old noggin right here. We need to use it every now and then. Think, do I need to be around this person? Do I need to be here in this place? No. Don't go there. Don't get around them. And if they push you to want to know why, tell them. That's what Peter said over there. Peter made it very plain how we are to handle these situations. He said there in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he said there in verse 2, he said that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. But yes, there are people going to think it's strange that you don't no longer associate with them. It may even be family members, but still whatever it takes to serve the Lord and to one day have a home in heaven. Yes, that's what we have to do, isn't it? No, God's not the one that originated temptation. Satan is. That's where it came from. And it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. He fought it off. Sin comes when we give in to the temptations. Look over here in Hebrews, if you will, chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, he was tempted. Now look also in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, verses 17 and 18. Still talking about Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He knows what we're going through. We have a Lord and Savior that really knows what we're going through because he's faced that same situation. And that's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? He has went through all these things. And just like we read over there in the book of James in chapter 1, yes, we're going to face temptations, but we don't let them progress to the point to where it turns into sin. And you know, there's ways, the same ways that the devil tempted Eve, and it's the same ways that he tempted the Lord. The three ways that 1 John chapter 2 tells us over there, verse 15, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's those three ways is the way it always will be. It'll be under those categories each and every time. That's the same way it was with Eve, same way it was with Jesus Christ, and it's the same way with us too. You know, that Satan, he is shrewd. He is, you know, he makes these this world out here and anyone in it that gives in to his temptations that he places before us, he makes these passing pleasures of sin, and that's what they are. They're just passing. They look, you know, look so attractive. Look like they, you know, you just got to have it. And but he hides the real consequences of it, you see. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 25, speaking about Moses there, he said, well, let's look in verse 24 too. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose rather not to, he didn't want to be a part of that no more. And he had it made, if you looked at it from a world standpoint, with all that, the riches they had, all the servants they had, he said, no, I'm not going to be a part of that no more. And you know what? That's the way we have to look at all these pleasures out here in this world today too. I don't want that. I would rather have salvation. I would rather do without things in this life, knowing that the life that is to come, I can have eternity there in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. And there's no comparison when you get to looking at it like that right there. When you go also over here in 2 Corinthians, if you will, look over here with me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 11. Look at what Paul said. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But you know what? So many people are ignorant of his devices. And it's ignorance because of their lack of knowledge of God's word. What did Peter say over there in the last verse of chapter 3 of 2 Peter? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in it. Grow in his words there. Yes, and then if you grow in his word, then you'll not, just like Paul stated, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He said, we know his devices. We know his schemes. We know how he operates. We know how he works. And he's good at it because he's been at it a long time. Also, look with me over in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 3. As Paul would also state this concerning the simplicity of the gospel. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, the gospel is really simple. People are the ones that makes it difficult. They try to make it as something that's hard to understand. No, it's just because, just like Christ said there in speaking the parables, it was for those that were willing to listen and understand, want to, and desire to understand it, their ears and their eyes will be opened. But for those that didn't have a desire, those that didn't want to give in, those that didn't want to do his will, their ears were waxed closed, their eyes was closed to it. Didn't the Pharisees, right there with all those other people, and see all those miracles that Jesus performed, giving the blind back their sight, the crippled would be able to walk, raising the dead, any kind of leprosy or disease, whatever, it was all healed. And they were right there and saw it, but no, they didn't see it. Because all they had on their mind, I'm going to trap him somehow. I got to get rid of him. Instead of looking at, wow, like some of these other people there, look at what he's doing. Look at what, such a wonderful thing. This must be the Son of God. That's what some of them did, but not some of those were guilty of not doing that. And this is the world today. They're ignorant and still not opening their minds to what Jesus Christ can do. You know, we need to do just like, remember what Christ said about the devil. He told them people over there, in speaking to some of those Pharisees and so forth, in John chapter 8 and in verse 44, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Not only a liar, but a murderer. And that's what Satan is. That's what the devil is, the father of it. And yes, he's good at it. He entices people thinking, you know, your situation's unique. You know, you're not like the other people. Yes, right here, you can handle that. You can handle that one little drink. You can handle that one little drug right there. You can handle, you're not going to gamble away all the money that you need to pay your bills this month. And people fall for it all the time. And even before these casinos or whatever you want to call them around here hit, you know, the lottery, people wasting all their money. Kids going without food, but yet they're buying those lottery tickets and so forth. And that's what, you see, that's the way the devil works. You're different right there. But you know what? People need to keep something in mind, just what Paul also wrote over here in Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So if we want life everlasting, we need to be sowing to the Spirit. These words right here are Spirit. These are the words we need to be abiding in. These are the words we need to be following. We need to be following Jesus Christ. And any time these situations like this come up, ask yourself, would Jesus be doing this? Would Jesus be standing here listening to this? Would Jesus be saying this about so-and-so? You know, it's easy to get kind of carried away with, you know, talking about somebody sometime or, you know, we're all guilty of that to an extent. Or having hard feelings when there wasn't really no reason for having hard feelings. You know, that's just how the devil works. You know, your situation is unique. They deserve it. Don't you even listen to them. Don't you take no forgiveness from them, even if they do apologize. You know, that's just the way he does. And he never gives up. When he left Christ after he had been tempting him, when you look over in the book of Luke, and you look there in verse 13, this was after, let me get in the right place here. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, talking about the temptations he had put before Christ that didn't do him any good, he departed from him for a season. He didn't completely, he left at that time, but that didn't mean he wasn't coming back. And that's the way the devil works. Now, you may face, run him off on this situation here that you're facing, but be ready. He's not giving up. He'll come back. You know, and the thing about temptation, as I said earlier, it's like our salvation. We need to take it, we need to be serious about it. Temptation is a serious thing, and it's dangerous. And it's, people are naive when they get too overconfident about themselves, thinking that they won't fall. What did Christ say in Mark 14:38? Jesus said, watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. This was the words of our Savior. He knew what the, he was tempted in all just the same ways that we've been through. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. He went through all that. And, you know, and we're foolish if we think we won't be tempted, because we will be tempted. We're foolish if we think temptation has no power over us. We're foolish if we think that we can just easily defeat it each and every time. You know, we're foolish if we can't, if we don't think we can't give in to it. We better be careful, because those things are something that can rob us of our salvation. It happens to people all the time, and there is no one that is exempt from it. There's no one that's going to get by with it. There's no one that's immune to its power. Remember what we read over here in the 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12? Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, those that are thinking, you know, I can't fall. Yeah, you're getting ready to. That's if you got that attitude right there, thinking that he's standing and nothing's going to take him down, yes, it will. It will take you down. had an old saying when I was growing up, they're getting too big for their britches. And that just meant they were just getting a little too cocky, and thinking they was beyond any kind of anything they could, you know, 10 foot tall and bulletproof. No. We all have to face the same situations, and we better be prepared for it and arm ourselves with that armor that we read there earlier in Ephesians 6, which is the Word of God. And we need to be able to recognize Him. We need to know what, if we got weaknesses, that's what we need to work on. Because guess what? The devil knows too. He knows. He uses that to his advantage. You know, and learn from our past failures that we've went through. Just like James said over there, when you're tempted, you know, face it with patience, you know, and it can help us. You know, we can't go out of this world. You know, that's what, if you look back over there in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 10, Paul said, well, let's look in verse 9. He said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. Well, Paul said, well, to get away from all of them, you'd have to leave this old earth. Can't do that, can we? So we're faced, you know, but we can watch who we are around and pray to avoid, you know, pray for help to avoid it. That's what we read there a moment ago in Matthew 6:13, as Christ pointed out there. Pray that we don't enter into temptation. Pray for the Lord's help. Arm ourselves with the truth. You know, have strength and have courage. That right there will help us through all these situations. We're not going to be able to avoid it all the time, but we can. You know, we need to act like adults about it. Be strong about it. That's what Peter was talking about over here in 1 Peter 5, in verses 8 through 9. He said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be alert, be on guard. He said, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same things. You're not going through nothing different. You know, James told us over here in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when we have these temptations, you know, we just need to put up some resistance there. Get behind me, Satan. Put him in his place. Don't let him get in front of you. You know, resisting. People talk about submitting to God, but, you know, feeling too many are just too, they're just not willing to resist the devil. And they do. They give in to him. You know, we need to be like Joseph. Remember Joseph and what he faced over there in Genesis chapter 39, verse 9? When Potiphar's wife there wanted him to lie with her, in other words, have sexual relations with her, he refused. And, you know, he ended up on the being treated wrongfully there, but it all worked out to the good. But he refused. He didn't give in to it. And that's what we have to do, whatever it is today. Don't give in to it. Look at the one thing that will help us in everything that we have to go through. God promises us protection. And he will give us protection. And he will help us if we will look for it. He gives us a way out of those temptations. We know there in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It won't be anything uncommon. And he's going to provide a way of escape. What a wonderful thing to know. And he is faithful to forgive us when we do stumble. Even better. But you know what? We have to recognize our sin. We need to repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness. But the main thing is to be on guard and fight these temptations off and show the rest of the world and show other Christians there that we have a light that's shining bright. And our light is not getting dull, and our light's not just flickering every now and then, but our light is strong. And there's only one way we can do that. It's through the help of God, studying His Word, being around each other, helping one another, strengthening one another. And that's the most valuable thing we have. And the Lord knows that we need that from one another, which is why we have these services. I thank you for your time. There's so much more that we could have went over. I had more there that we could have talked about. But, you know, the main point of it is, you know, we know that what is necessary in our life if we want to have that everlasting life is to be faithful when Jesus Christ returns. And Brother Jeff has chosen a song of invitation. If we can help or assist anyone, would you come as we stand and sing?